Welcome to Emil Franzink's Voices of the West, dedicated to the principle that America was better off when our TV shows featured cowboys instead of lawyers.
And in the immortal words of Gabby Hayes, there you go.
No, welcome. I did that with a drink in my throat.
That was Frog. That was Froggy.
Froggy.
And welcome to another edition of Emil Franzink's Voices of the West. Harry Alexander with you, Bunker de France with in Los Angeles. It is our good friend Todd Roberts.
Hello.
There he is.
There he is.
And we've got on the horn E.J. Stevens. We're going to be talking about silent movie locations and bunches of other goodies happening over in Santa Clarita. And so before we do that, though, I'm guessing we got to do some bovine.
You do it or I walk.
Some bovine stuff. All right, here we go.
Okay. I get my theme song?
Yeah, I got your theme song. It's there.
I'm listening. Oh, that's cool. I like that.
I know.
I like that. Okay. Well, just so EJ, just so you brought up to speed, because I know this is confusing as hell, because I don't even understand it. But what I do is I do, coming to you from Bunker's Bunkhouse, is the good, the bad, and the bovine. What that means is I take today as a jumping off, and I travel 3 days back in time and 3 days forward in time, in no particular order, way, shape, or rhyme. And the 3 days forward are not into the future, but the 3 days forward into the past.
Or some such nonsense
like that. Something like that. And I'm going to start with June 24, 1497. John Cabot, Italian navigator and explorer, lands on the coast of North America. His voice is under the commission of King Henry II of England. This is the earliest known European exploration of North America, landing at Newfoundland. But the Vikings and Norse guys, they got there to Vinland in the 11th century, so it wasn't such a big deal. And then on June 25, 1876, the Battle of Greasy Grass. Now, a lot of you folks don't know this one, but it's also known as the Battle of the Little Bighorn, but it's known as the Little Battle of the Greasy Grass to the Lakota and other Plains Indians, and was an armed engagement between the combined forces of the Lakota Sioux, the Northern Cheyenne, and the Arapaho tribes. And it was against the U.S. 7th Cavalry under the command of that pipsqueak colonel, George Armstrong Custer, or as the Indians called him, the Little Pipsqueak. Now, on June 26, 1934, that's almost modern, Harry doesn't like this one, but President Franklin D. Roosevelt signed the National Firearms Act into law, regulating automatic weapons and short barrel shotguns.
None of us like it.
None of us like it. I know Todd doesn't like it.
No.
Anyhow, on June 27, 1760, I moved back 3 centuries, just like that, the Anglo-Cherokee War was a conflict between the British forces and Cherokee bands. The Cherokee warriors defeated the British at the Battle of Ekoe, led by Chief Seroe. You see, we've been kicking ass for a long time.
And okay. Taking names, too.
Oh, yeah. Like a little pipsqueak. June 28, 1758, the Siege of Louisbourg. It was a pivotal British victory during the 7 Years' War that ended French dominance in the Atlantic Canada and opened the way to the conquest of Quebec. Now, 629, that's the 29th, 1919, Louis Burton Lindsay was born. You know who that was, Harry?
I'm sorry, no.
That's Slim Pickens.
Oh, okay.
And I just got a couple of things. We did a ton of pictures, but here's a couple of pictures he worked on that you didn't get credit for, and they're very important. He worked on The Big Country. He was the riding or stunt double for Gregory Peck on the bucking horse sequences. Hmm. And the reason was that they were using his horse, and he wouldn't let anybody else ride him.
Well,
that's also the appy that was also in the saga of Andy Burnett. That's mm-hmm. just thrown in there for yeah. free. And then he also did The Wide Country. He was the technical advisor for the series, but in the episode Step Over the Sky, Season 1, Episode 15, He was stunt double for Victor Jory and the Bucket Horse sequences. And now we're going to finish up with June 30, 1917, and Edith Mariner. You don't know who she is.
Yeah.
Well, she's better known as Susan Hayward.
Oh.
And she did a ton of overs, and I'm just going to run through them all real quick and no comments, unless one of you guys wants to say something. But her first one was The Forest Rangers, 1942. Jack London, 1943. Canyon Passage, 1946. Taproots, 1948. Tulsa, 1949. She did a short called, it was a Screen Snapshot Series 31, number 2. And you'll like this, Harry. It was Hop Along in Hoppy Land.
There you go.
Done in 1951.
Yep.
And then I'll Climb the Highest Mountain, 1951. Rawhide, 1951. That's a great movie. The Lusty Men, 1952. One of the best rodeo movies ever. The President's Lady, 1953. Garden of Evil, 1954. Untamed, 1953. Thunder in the Sun, 1959. And she finished off her westerns with The Revengers, 1972, with William Holden. She was a busy lady when
Quite.
It comes to the odors.
Yeah. Plus the other things that she made.
Oh, yeah. She
other
won
movies,
all kinds
yeah.
of awards.
Bunches.
She was nominated for a ton of things and almost always won.
All right. Movie Saturday time. We're going to do silent movie locations, talk about silent movies, and doggone anything near else that we can come up with.
You know, I didn't know it was locations. I just thought it was silent movies.
Well, with E.J. Stevens. He's from Santa Clarita, California. He does a television show. He also has partnered with Phil Lantis of Santa Clarita. And together they produce a silent movie festival. EJ, welcome to the Voices of the West program.
Well, thank you. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for sticking around.
Yeah. Appreciate it very much. You are a teacher. You're a historian, lecturer, author.
Entrepreneur.
Can't keep a job, can you?
You still doing tours?
Still doing tours, yep. We do tour. We have a tour company here in Santa Cruz,
right.
And we give tours of local film sites and things like that.
That's you and your wife that do that, correct?
That's right.
Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And she's the one that really is the gumbo that holds it all together, right?
She's the boss. Yeah, she's the glue person and the boss.
There you go. How did this interest in the silence come about for you?
Well, I've been a fan of silent movies since I think I saw my first Buster Keaton short years and years ago when I was a kid.
Uh-huh.
And it's just something that I've grown to love even more and appreciate more as time went on. And when I moved up here to Santa Clarita, California, I was just doing some research, and I found out that a lot of the people that I'd been watching for my whole life had actually filmed right here, including Buster Keaton and Charlie Chaplin and Mary Pickford, everybody you could think of, Hoot Gibson and William S. Hart, so many other people that it just one of those things that grew as I learned more and realized that where I was now living was actually not only the Old West, because everything that happened in the Old West happened up here in Santa Cruz Valley, but it was also the place where the Old West was depicted for the rest of the world in early movies, in early Westerns. This is a large way where the Western film was created, because we're just an hour north of Hollywood, but back in the day, 100 years ago, there was nobody out here, so
right.
they could just come up the road and just make it look like it looked, you know, for the previous million years, you know. So it's truly where the Western began, and it's also where the Westerns continued, because we still have a bunch of studios and film ranches up here. I think 10. And a lot of them still, a couple of them still have old West towns, and basically, when you see a Western film that's done in California these days, it's done here in the Santa Clarita Valley.
Now, you also doing tours at Melody Ranch, which just reopened. Is that correct?
Yeah, Melody was owned. Melody's here in Newhall, which is a division. It's an area of Santa Clarita. We call it New Hollywood because that's kind of where the Western film began. Mm-hmm. And Melody Ranch was owned. Melody Ranch is about 100 years old now, but it was owned for 40 years by Gene Autry, and so Gene did a lot of his films here. And everybody who you can think of in the Western genre filmed here, and in more recent years in a lot of other genres as well. Like if you watch Westworld and. Also, like Deadwood, that was all done right here, and so we do tours when there's no filming going on. Luckily, we have had some filming going, which is good for everyone. So we've not been doing tours for a while. It was a couple of years when we had to take off, but we're back in business again.
Cool.
Do you know the Valuzes? I'm sure you do.
Oh yeah. Good friends of ours.
Yeah.
We're good friends of ours.
I was good friends with. One of the daughters that we went to the same church up there, the Village Church in Newhall.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah,
they're great folks, and they've done amazing things with their studios, and they've recently rebuilt the Western town, so it looks like it did back in the Gunsmoke days. They filmed the first six seasons of Gunsmoke here, and the Western town now looks like Matt Dillon's going to step in the main street and shoot somebody.
That's good. Marvel Jello better hide.
Hey, if you guys are looking for another project, Old Tucson is not for sale, but the lease is up for grabs because the people who are running it now don't want to bother with it again.
Yeah, they have a 10-year extension.
Yeah, and they decided not to, but...
They're asking $1.5 million.
$1.5 million for that lease.
But I'll bet they bargain.
Well, Old Tucson used to be really, really cool. Mm-hmm. It got turned it more into an amusement park than a filming location.
You know, I posted a thing about that saying that Old Tucson was established as a movie location, not as an amusement park.
Yeah. So, anyway, keep that in your crawl there if you guys need another project.
Take over the town.
Indeed. Todd Roberts, get in there.
So, EJ, how long did it take you to amass your tour of movie sites around L.A. and Hollywood that you can take people to? Because back in the day, there were guys selling maps to movie star homes all over L.A., but there weren't locations to sell them. Then some people got into the buses where they took people around, but they don't show movie locations as much as they show homes and so on. So how did that develop? I mean, how were you able to find your way to that path?
Well, the silent era, a lot of folks don't even know there was such a thing as a silent era before talkies hit the scene. It was how movies began, and it was a large, yeah, and it's a lot of how L.A. was created, because Hollywood, when it first became Hollywood, was a silent city. I mean, they didn't have the technology to broadcast sound on film at the early days, so. The films had no spoken dialogue. You can't say they were silent because they usually had a piano player or an orchestra or something, but there was no actual speaking. And so one of the reasons why silent films got so popular is because you could very quickly translate them into any language, because most of the action was just pantomime. And then if there was dialogue, it was written on dialogue cards, so you could very quickly change that in any language in the world. So silence just took over and very quickly became the biggest, I guess, like art form of the 20th century. Yeah, yeah, and that was the way it was. So what's amazing about it is L.A. And Hollywood was, when we talk about the very early years, we're talking about a place where all these silent films were being made, hundreds and hundreds of them in a lot of different studios. And some of the people who became the most famous people in the world at the time, Douglas Fairbanks and Mary Pickford and Charlie Chaplin and William S. Hart and guys like that, they were making their films here. What's really kind of sad about modern Hollywood is, and when I talk about Hollywood, I mean both the geographical area of Los Angeles and also the concept of Hollywood, the filmmaking part of L.A., which is spread all over. But one of the really sad things about the geographical part of Hollywood itself, where most of these early films were made, is they really haven't honored their history as much as they should have. Mm-hmm. Over the years. They're doing a better job than they've ever done, but a lot of these things were just bulldozed down and nobody cared. And so anyway, what doing the research, I would find out where these films were made, and there's a wonderful gentleman named John Bengston who just recently passed away, unfortunately. He's a great guy who kind of created his own cottage industry of going back and watching these films and locating exactly where they were filmed around L.A. And working with John and some others, I was able to start putting together bus tours and things. I actually call them bus tour Keatons, hoping to be clever, not really succeeding. but anyway, through our efforts, we've been able to locate a lot of these sites, and now it's just really exciting when we take people to, like, the spot where Charlie Chaplin first appeared on screen, and unbelievable places that once you see these movies and you can't believe how they were made, because the stunts and things were just unbelievable. There was no CGI, right? And then you go to these places where this scene, which will be funny in 1,000 years, was filmed, and it people just get a real kick out of it.
Well, it's like that pass out there on the way to San Fernando Valley was in the early movies, and it was such an iconic thing. Tom Mix jumping it with Tony and some of the other movies that were there, and then they widened it for the road. Nobody jumps it anymore.
We got to do
it. Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah, that's right down the just a couple miles from where we are here, and Beale's Cut. You cut out there for a second, so I think that's what you were referring to. Beale's Cut was this hand-dug slit in the mountains that's here in Newhall, and hand-dug. And, it's been used in so many old films, silent films, going back to 1923. Actually, I think even earlier than that. And a good piece of news on that is the city of Santa Clarita just acquired the property, and so they're making it a park right now.
Mm.
So, so Beale's Cut, one of the things we hope to do in a future silent film festival is to actually show some of these movies that were made there, like some of the silent films, plus also some of the talkies, mm-hmm. like Stagecoach with John Wayne. There's a scene where they come through it, and we'd love to show it there at Beale's Cut to show people, where
it is. Yeah,
there's magic. You know, there's magic when you show a scene.
All right.
Filmed.
Okay, we got to do our very first commercial break here on Emil Franzi's Voices of the West. Harry Alexander, Bunker de France, Todd Roberts with you, our guest, E.J. Stevens. We're talking silent movies and locations. E.J.'s in Santa Clarita, California. We'll be right back.
Arizona, the land of cattle, copper, and cowboys. It's also the true West, where a large number of Westerns were filmed. For your next vacation, come out to where Wyatt Earp made a name for himself as a highly respected sheriff. Stay where Jimmy Stewart filmed Winchester 73.
That would be the White Stallion Ranch. Situated in the mountains just northwest of Tucson, the White Stallion Ranch is an award-winning dude ranch with 43 guest rooms and the Hacienda. That's a 5-bedroom, 3-bathroom home, perfect for larger families, family reunions, and girlfriend getaways. Every guest room has a private patio with views of the cactus gardens, mountains, or corrals. Generous floor plans offer sunny, comfortable rooms, but you won't want to stay in your room. Outdoor activities are plentiful at the White Stallion Ranch. Horseback riding, hiking, shooting, archery, rock climbing, e-biking, and a weekly ranch rodeo are among the numerous activities that you'll enjoy on your ranch vacation. Go Western for your next getaway. The White Stallion Ranch. Book your vacation now online at whitestallionranch.com or call 520-297-0252.
This is Eb Wilkinson at Wilkinson Wealth Management. If you're within 10 to 15 years of retirement and you're putting off retirement planning, my advice to you is don't do that. Ignoring your retirement planning won't make it go away. It'll just make it worse. Give me a call and let's work on your plan together so you can retire comfortably and remain comfortably retired. Call me, Eb Wilkinson, at 777-1911. That's 777-1911.
The Tucson Trap and Ski Club is one of the best-kept economic secrets in town. This 900-member group maintains one of the finest shotgun shooting ranges in the country, featuring trap, skeet, five-stand, and sporting clays fields, and hosts national and international events that bring thousands of people and millions of dollars into our community. The Spring Satellite Grand American Tournament alone involves 1,200 participants for 10 days. Learn more about this and their other contributions to our community at TucsonTrapAndSkeet.com.
I'm getting tired of your meddling. This town ain't big enough for the both of us. And I'm giving you 24 hours to get out. If I see you in Carabinas by this time tomorrow, it's you or me.
I'll see you at this time tomorrow.
This is the Voices of the West.
Nemo Franzi's of Voices of the West, Harry Alexander Bunker de France, Todd Roberts in Los Angeles, also in the Santa Clarita area, is our guest, E.J. Stevens, and we are talking about silent movies here on Movie Saturday, streaming live from the White Stallion Ranch. How about that stuff, man?
It is beautiful. And they film out here, too.
Yeah, they do. They, big time. The earliest ice movie ice, well, actually Arizona would be the earliest movie, wouldn't it?
Yeah, up in the past.
So. Yeah, in the past. There's been
well,
a couple.
It might have been something before that that we don't know about.
Well, there
Was stuff here over
I know there was a Gene Autry movie done out here, and there was a serial that was partially filmed in here. But that's after Arizona.
I'm thinking about back in the silent, because Selig came over here. And they spent several months and did about 50 little short films.
That's a good possibility, because they did a silent movie in Nogales using that. Doug Fairbanks was in that one.
Yeah.
So, what do you think about that, EJ?
pretty cool. Pretty impressive.
Yeah. Yeah, I got a question for you. You mentioned earlier about, you know, the music and the piano players. And also, they used to, a lot of times when the movies would go out and release, they'd send a sound effect kit with it for, you know, coconuts to make horse beats and gunshots and stuff like that. Can you give us any background on some of that stuff?
Yeah, well, the thing that I always like to tell people is silent films weren't silent. They just didn't have spoken dialogue, and in the early days there was basically, if you put on a silent film, you're just watching the picture. There's no sound at all, but sound was added by all kinds of different performers. Like you said, the earliest, like Foley experts, were the guys with the coconuts for the horses going by, and there was almost always at least a piano player. Sometimes there'd be full orchestras though, mm-hmm. in some of the big theaters in the big cities.
Symphonies.
yeah, exactly. And then in other parts of the world, there were even other ways of presenting the films. There's a group of people in Japan where when they did silent films, there were these groups called the Benshis. And what they would do is they would, it's kind of hard to explain, but they would watch the film, which everybody's watching in the audience, and then they would interpret it using their own gestures and things about what was actually happening.
Cool.
Yeah. So it was actually, a lot of these guys would get their own following, and the people wouldn't care what the movie was. They just wanted to find out which Benshi was going to be performing the film.
That's cool.
And some of these guys became big time celebrities.
Silent ninjas.
But,
yeah.
And
cool.
Yeah. So I mean, these things were never silent. There was usually some form of music, and like you said, sound effects were often added.
There's a great story that Ross Santee, who's a Western artist, and he cowboyed up around the Flagstaff area, and he wrote in his book, Lost Pony Tracks, about some of the local cowboys went into town to see their first movie. And of course, they went because it was a Western. And at one point, the bad guy was sneaking up on the hero, and he was about to shoot him in the back. And two or three of the boys plugged the bad guy, and of course, they got out of town real quick. But I think that's so neat.
Yeah. I mean, it's so funny. The very, very first silent films, some of them were done in France, and one of the very first ones is called Train Arriving at a Station, and it's about a train arriving at a station. That's pretty much the whole film.
Yep.
It's just a few seconds long, but people, when the train was coming up into the station, people were diving under their chairs because they thought the train was going to come right out of the wall.
Yeah.
So yeah, it took a while for people to catch on how it all worked.
There's a silent, I guess you'd call them like the early documentaries of a train trip up one of the mountains there in Southern California to a resort, and it was a two-parter. The first part was the train going up, and the second part was the train going down from the train's POV. It was one of the first POV silent movies.
Wow, that's pretty cool. Yeah,
that's very interesting. Yeah.
Well, they used to do all kinds of machinations to attach the camera to the car, an automobile, if they needed that kind of a shot, where the cameraman be sitting on a platform in the front of the car.
That was called a breakaway cameraman.
I imagine so. and you know, all kinds of things like that. So, yeah, interesting.
EJ, how is it... Are your favorite silent films the ones that are in Santa Clarita because that's where you live and you know the area and it's more familiar, or are there others that are more important to you?
Well, it's always pretty thrilling to know that right down the road from me, Buster Keaton filmed at Beale's Cut and Charlie Chaplin filmed at the train station down the road here. And it's always great to see that and know the stories behind them. So that's always a special thrill, but I think when it comes to my personal favorite silent films, I love the silent comedians and some of the Westerns as well. Those are always pretty interesting, pretty exciting. But the silent comedians, so. Luckily, Buster Keaton, who is my favorite, filmed all over the place around here in Southern California. And he filmed some other places, too. He filmed The General, which is my personal favorite film. He filmed that up in Cottage Grove, Oregon. And my wife and I, we actually took a trip up there to find the sites where the scenes that he filmed were there. And it still looks the same 100 years later, which is pretty incredible.
Did you see the train in the river?
The train in the river. I went and looked. The river actually moves pretty fast, so I didn't get in there. But yeah, for those who don't know what we're talking about, there's a scene in the movie The General, which I believe was the most expensive scene of the silent era, where Buster dropped a train into the river off of a burning bridge. The way they did that was they dropped a train into the river, and it was actually laying there for I guess decades, and finally I think some people got injured by climbing on it or something, so they came and they scrapped it, but it was there for a couple decades.
Oh, how disappointing.
But apparently, if you know where to look, and I didn't, but I tried, you can still find some pieces of the old train down there.
Well, you know, Buster, I was a stuntman for 30 years, and among the stunt community, he's considered the greatest stuntman of all time because he did stunts
that
could not be done today.
Yeah.
The way he did them.
Buster was an incredible athlete, and he was crazy. I mean, he was insane because a comedy to him was almost like a religion. I mean, it was a very holy thing, and so he would do things that were just absolutely insane to get a laugh. And he actually even in a scene that he filmed down here in Chatsworth, not too far from us, he literally broke his neck to get a funny scene. I don't think he intended to, but he did, and caused him a lot of pain throughout his life. But I mean, his stunts were the real deal, and you watch some of them, like Steamboat Bill Jr., which was filmed in Sacramento. There's, for those who haven't seen the film, there's a tornado that comes through town. And Buster is standing there in front of a house, and the front of the house falls on him, and he just happens to be standing where the window is open, and he goes right through the window, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the way they did that was they dropped a house on him.
It was an actual brick wall of the house was.
Yeah, kind of like the Wizard of Oz. You know, they actually dropped a house on him, though. And the director that day couldn't even be on set because he just knew that Buster was going to be killed. But I mean, that's the type of guy he was. And he was just, he should go down as not just the funniest silent film performer, but the craziest.
Yeah.
We're going to take our next commercial break here on Emil Franzi's Voices of the West. E.J. Stevens is our guest. He's a Hollywood historian, does tours in Santa Clarita, California, of all those cool silent locations. As well as other locations. By the way, the website is ejstevens.com. ejstevens.com. Aaron Alexander, Bunker to France, Todd Roberts. We'll be back with much more of Emil Franzi's Voices of the West right after this.
Can you even imagine switching back to pen and paper to run your business? Every year, we become more and more dependent upon our technology. If your network is not set up properly, you're just one click or one email away from losing data critical to your operation. Arizona Computer Guru offers a host of services to prevent and protect you from disaster. From online backup services to email filtering to fully managed network services, Arizona Computer Guru is here to keep your network secure, your data safe, and your budget in the black. To schedule your free consultation, call 304-8300.
This is Eb Wilkinson at Wilkinson Wealth Management. If you're within 10 to 15 years of retirement and you're putting off retirement planning, my advice to you is don't do that. Ignoring your retirement planning won't make it go away. It'll just make it worse. Give me a call and let's work on your plan together so you can retire comfortably and remain comfortably retired. Call me, Eb Wilkinson, at 777-1911. That's 777-1911.
The Tucson Trap and Ski Club dates from 1948 and is now at 7800 West Ol' Ajo Highway. The club owns 80 acres and leases 300 more from Pima County that supports 50 trap fields, 15 skeet fields, 2 5-stand fields, 2 sporting plays courses with 12 stations each, a 9,000-square-foot clubhouse, 200 full-service RV hookups for members, and free Wi-Fi. This expansive facility gives enough room to host major national and international events annually, bringing thousands of people to the community. Check it out at TucsonTrapAndSki.com.
Hey, this is Robert Fuller, G.S. Harper from Laramie, and we're listening to the Voices of the West.
are back on Emil Franci's Voices of the West. Harry Alexander, Bunker DeFrance, Todd Roberts in Los Angeles, and Santa Clarita, California is our guest, E.J. Stevens. And he's a Hollywood historian. He does tours. Oh, my God, he does all kinds of stuff.
Multi-talented.
Multi-talented. You and Phil Lantis with the city of Santa Clarita, you guys started or worked together to put together a film festival, a silent film festival. You want to talk about that?
Yeah. It's actually Phil, myself, and my wife, Kimmy. We all got together and put this together probably about a decade now ago. And what it is was we, as I was talking earlier, we, the city, the area of Los Angeles that's Hollywood really wasn't, we felt, honoring their history as well as they should. And one of the big things that they weren't doing, in our opinion, was there should have been a silent film festival, because that's where the silent films were made. That's where they began, right there in Hollywood.
Dude, that makes
and,
sense.
And it kind of makes sense, doesn't it? To everyone but the city of Hollywood, which they never did it. They never got on it. So we said, you know, we've looked around. There's really not a there's not a Southern California silent film festival. There's some big ones around. I mean, in San Francisco, they've got a big one. But in Southern California, where the films were created or actually filmed, we didn't have a silent film festival. So I went to the city of Santa Clarita. Santa Clarita, we're about an hour north of Hollywood. And luckily, a lot of the films we've been talking about were filmed right here in Santa Clarita. A lot of the westerns, a lot of the early comedies, they were all done right here. As a matter of fact, William S. Hart lived here, and so did Hugh Gibson and Harry Carey Sr. and Jr. and a few others. They were right here. Tom Mix filmed right here in Newhall. And so I came to the city and I said, you know what, guys, we're not stealing anybody's history. It's all right here. I mean, we have William S. Hart's mansion right next door. Why don't we do what Hollywood should have done years ago, and that's have a silent film festival and really become the destination for silent film fans around the world? The city is really great if someone comes with an idea that just fits. And luckily, they had just done a plan saying they wanted to do things like film festivals with all the history of filming up here. And so I just happened to show up at the right time. And Phil Lantis at the time was the head of events at the city. And he said, let's do it. And we all became best pals, and we've been putting it on. We actually did our first film festival in February of 2020, which was terrible timing because a week later the world shut down. So we were shut down for a bit, but we got going again, and we moved it every year to Memorial Day, so that weekend. So we just finished our 2026 film festival here over Memorial Day, and it was great. We every year we've seen the crowds get a little bit bigger, and as we start learning what we're supposed to be doing and how to do it, we're seeing some real growth. So we hope in the future this will really become something major like the San Francisco film festival.
You know, E.J., Todd was a docent out at the Hart Ranch, and I'm sure Todd has got some questions for you about the Hart and all of that.
Sure.
Yeah, you know, what's amazing, E.J., is that how he doesn't really get credit for it amongst other than amongst the people who know, but I mean, Hart was a real trailblazer in the film industry. You know, one of the things he did so much that was really the first guy who did it was he insisted on real American Indians in American Indian roles in his films. Native Americans, and he insisted on them, and he could speak through, he could sign in Sioux. He was taught by women, so he only knew the female dialect of signs, and the extras or background players and Indians that he brought in used to laugh at him, and he would, you know, they would tease him about it, but that's who we taught him how to sign. Why don't you talk a little bit about Hart? Because I think in a lot of ways, everybody says the Newhalls built Newhall, but I think Bill Hart had just as much to do with it as anyone.
That's a great point. William S. Hart is really, it's hard to believe, once he was so famous, and such a big star that he got, I've read the numbers and it's still hard for me to believe, but he got like 75% of the gross of all of his movies, that he was so famous and popular, that the producers would still know they would make money with just taking a sliver of the gross. But he was really a trailblazer in a lot of ways. I mean, it's pretty amazing. The guy didn't start his film career till he was, I think he was 47 years old. And, which is usually when physical actors, are getting out of the business, you know, around that time. He was just getting in it. He'd been a big star on stage all around the country, Shakespearean actor. He was from New York, but he had spent some of his early years in the West with his father. And you're right, he did learn some Lakota Sioux and some signing, and he insisted on realism in his films. And so one of the things that I really appreciate about William S. Hart films is the people in them are really dirty. I mean, their clothes are usually pretty dirty, which I mean, I've seen too many Westerns where everybody just looks too pristine, you know? Yeah. And I think William S. Hart really wanted to bring a dose of reality into it. And anyway, he actually retired here to Newhall, which is an area of Santa Clarita. We call it New Hollywood. But he built his mansion up on the top of a hill here, and that was his retirement home. And I think it's you can absolutely say that he had as much to do with building Newhall as the Newhall family, because when Bill Hart lived here, there was only 300 people in Newhall. Now Newhall is part of a city of 250,000, and his house is now the William S. Hart Park, which recently was taken over by the city of Santa Clarita. It was for years belonged to the county of Los Angeles. Now it's part of the city, and a really great thing about that is the city has really pumped in a lot of money to restore it, and the house is now available for tours again. It had been closed for 6 years, but it's been restored, and it's just an amazing place, and it's an amazing thing that we have right here in the middle of Newhall. They even have a herd of bison here right in the middle of the city that a lot of people don't even know about. But wow, it's just an amazing place when you come to Southern California. And where better to have a silent film festival than in the front yard of William S. Hart's house?
An interesting thing, preparing for the show, I made up a list of three most important silent Westerns, directors, screenwriters, cameramen, actors, and Bill Hart is on every list.
Oh yeah, it's funny because Bill Hart was a really big deal in the early years. He's unfortunately largely been forgotten. Not a lot of his movies are seen these days and all, but in the teens and 20s he was massive, and he actually almost became part of United Artists with Charlie Chaplin and Mary Pickford and D.W. Griffith and Douglas Fairbanks. He was so popular, they wanted him. Yeah, they wanted him to be part of it. He backed out of the deal at the last moment, but that's how popular he was. And his movies. We still show them every year at what we call Silence of the Stars at Hart Park, and we'll show a Bill Hart film This year it's going to be around Halloween, and people love it. You know, we have a live accompaniment and everything. And his films, if you haven't seen them, they're really interesting good. Because they are good. They hold up, and people are dirty.
Well, you know, he's also considered the first true cowboy superstar. Of course, Tom Mix comes along later and eclipses everybody, but yeah,
he was the first. I mean, there were a few that had shown up before him. I mean, Bronco Billy Anderson, who filmed up in Northern California, he was probably the first real cowboy superstar, but William S. Hart kind of became a megastar. He was so much more popular, and then, like you said, he was kind of supplanted by Tom Mix. What's really interesting is here in Newhall, almost on the same piece of property, Tom Mix and William S. Hart both filmed movies right here, so they were kind of overlapped, and yeah, they're. We have so much of a rich Western history here in the silent era, right here in Newhall.
What's amazing is that the city is behind you people with support, and yeah, let's do this kind of thing. In Tucson, we have a rich cowboy history.
Rich movie history.
And a rich movie history, but the city officials here, they don't want to hear anything about that.
They're almost ashamed of it.
Exactly. And it's really sad because there are so many historic places here that they want to tear down. Unfortunately, they're not able to.
Historic people like me.
Yeah, they don't get to do that kind of thing. But you know, I applaud your city for doing what they do. Yeah.
You know, we do too. A lot of places don't really seem to care, but I think one of the reasons is because a lot of the places that have this kind of history, they don't know they have this history. And so I think a big part of what us historians all have to do is educate and let people know,
sure.
Hey, I mean, I've had to do that with William S. Hart because a lot of people... I had a group that came from the city had hired a group of people to help with promoting tourism locally, and they came to me and they said, "Well, William S. Hart is obviously more well known in Santa Cruz than he is outside of there." I said, "No, it's exactly the opposite. William S. Hart, he has fans all around the world. People in Santa Cruz don't know who he is a lot of times.
That's right.
They just know that he's the name of the school district." So. So what our job has to be is to inform and educate and go, okay, guys, you might not know it, but all this history happened right here, and here's who this guy was, and here's why he was a big deal, and here's the good thing, you can still watch his movies today.
You know, there's an interesting comment was about the Iron Horse. a fellow was writing about it, and he says, "This is the movie where all of the cliches were born." And
you're right.
And I think that's so important because all of the things that we see in film today, they were started in. You know, they talk about the anti-hero, like Clint Eastwood's, you know, The Unforgiven, that, you know, oh, this is the anti-hero. Bill Hart was doing it way before him.
A long time ago. Yeah, Hell's
Hinges. Yeah, and
any of his movies.
What's amazing.
Hell's Hinges, he's an anti-hero.
He's a hero in all of them.
And Bronco Billy is the same way.
Yeah.
That's right. And I think Clint has publicly said that. Yeah.
What'd you say, Claude?
Yeah.
Todd?
I was just saying that I think
I was saying that
Clint
it was so
has
interesting
often,
to EJ.
Yeah.
EJ. Your point, EJ, about the fact of what a big draw he was is only exemplified to the nth degree when you go to the Hart House and you see all the...
Where'd you go, Hart?
He's there. He's out in cyberspace someplace.
Oh, I think what he was going to say is all of the fan mail and stuff.
I'm here. I'm here. Hello.
Yep. We got you.
Hello?
We got you.
Yeah. So, you know...
Yeah, I lost you there for a minute.
So, you know, all the photographs that are assigned to Bill Hart in his home from, you know, Amelia Earhart and Robert Taylor and Wyatt Earp gave him a court, and how these people would go up there. It's a little strange to me, go up there during the summer for the cooler months. I don't know, you know.
It's on top of the hill, you have a breeze.
Spent a lot of time in Valencia. Yeah, I spent a lot of time up in Valencia, and it was always 10 degrees hotter than L.A. But nonetheless, boy, they a lot of people went up there to kiss the ring of, Two-Gun Bill,
they
the king of the Westerns.
All right, we got to do last commercial break here on Emil Franzi's Voices of the West. Harry Alexander, Bunker de France, Todd Roberts, E.J. Stevens is our guest, talking silence on Movie Saturday. We'll be right back.
Arizona, the land of cattle, copper, and cowboys. It's also the true West, where a large number of Westerns were filmed. For your next vacation, come out to where Wyatt Earp made a name for himself as a highly respected sheriff. Stay where Jimmy Stewart filmed Winchester 73.
That would be the White Stallion Ranch. Situated in the mountains just northwest of Tucson, the White Stallion Ranch is an award-winning dude ranch with 43 guest rooms and the Hacienda. That's a 5-bedroom, 3-bathroom home, perfect for larger families, family reunions, and girlfriend getaways. Every guest room has a private patio with views of the cactus gardens, mountains, or corrals. Generous floor plans offer sunny, comfortable rooms, but you won't want to stay in your room. Outdoor activities are plentiful at the White Stallion Ranch. Horseback riding, hiking, shooting, archery, rock climbing, e-biking, and a weekly ranch rodeo are among the numerous activities that you'll enjoy on your ranch vacation. Go Western for your next getaway. The White Stallion Ranch. Book your vacation now online at whitestallionranch.com or call 520-297-0252.
This is Ev Wilkinson of Wilkinson Wealth Management, where we manage money for gun owners. When people turn 50, something miraculous happens. They start to get serious about retirement planning. They've done very well so far and want to be certain they power into the retirement they've earned. Let me guide you to retire comfortably and remain comfortably retired. Call me, Ev Wilkinson, at 777-1911. That's 777-1911.
Hello, I'm Mr. Red.
No doubt you've heard about rescue groups for dogs and cats, but did you know there's a rescue group for horses? That's right, it's called Horses Around Rescue. Founders Steve Boyce and Teresa Worrell are helping out all those equine victims of neglect and cruelty by giving them a place to restore their health and wellness. And Horse It Around provides a nurturing and natural environment where horses can be horses, so they can be adopted out into forever homes. More than 120 horses, mules, and donkeys have been adopted out, but like everything else, it costs money to run the project. Horse It Around is a 501c3 nonprofit located in Southeast Arizona. Your tax-deductible donations to Horse It Around will go a long way so those horses can be horses. Check out the website, horseitaroundrescue.org. Make a difference in a horse's life. That's horseitaroundrescue.org.
Besides bringing millions a year into this community with national and international events, the Tucson Trap and Skeet Club at 7800 West Old Ajo Highway services the local shooting sports community with a 380-acre site featuring trap, skeet, five stand, and two sporting clays fields, as well as a 9,000-square-foot clubhouse, which all is available to local shooters, and soon, an archery range. Check it out at TucsonTrapAndSkeet.com or take a drive out west of town and see it for yourself. New members or single-day use, welcome.
With this deposit of tungsten I've discovered, our country will soon be independent of any outside source of supply. That's why I've got to contact the authorities.
But you're in no condition to travel. Pancho and I will get work through for you.
But it may mean your death.
Well, we can't live forever. Besides, this is our country too. If it's good enough to live in, it's good enough to fight for. Right, Pancho?
Hey, you know, one thing my papa always told me when I was a little boy. Keep two things in your heart, Pancho. Your God and your country.
And to which I say amen.
This is the Voices of the West.
are back on Emil Franzi's Voices of the West. Here, Alexander Bunker de France, Todd Roberts in Los Angeles. My voice has gone on vacation. And in Santa...
Soon you'll be a silent.
Yeah, I'll be a silent, yeah. Santa Clarita, California, our guest is E.J. Stevens. The program is running out of time here. So, E.J., this is your time for shameless promotion.
Well, I appreciate that. One thing I wanted to tell people about is we created a 501c3 here to even do more as far as marking the history here of film sites and tours and that kind of thing. It's called the Fritz Film Society. If people want to learn more about it and how they can get involved, you can just email me directly. My email is just ej@ejstevens.com. Stevens is S-T-E-P-H-E-N-S. But if you want to know more about it, one of the things that we're hoping to do is to actually even have soon a Western Film Festival here, because we have all these film ranches that have Western towns, and we want to actually... hopefully within a year or so have a Western Film Festival actually at one of these film Western towns, maybe Melody, maybe another one of the studios around here. But we also have a lot of other things in mind, one of them being I don't know if you've recall this, but most people who have never even seen a silent film know this scene, and that is where at the end of Modern Times Charlie Chaplin walks off into the sunset. Actually, mm-hmm. The sunrise with Paulette Goddard by his side, and that's the end of the silent era. Actually, the last scene of the silent era. That's actually just a few miles from here, and we're trying to put a plaque out there. So things like that. So that's what we're doing. So if people want to be involved in doing some of these things, just get in touch with me, and we'd be happy to use your help.
And Todd Roberts has the final.
So your 501c3. With that you mentioned has Fritz's name on it. Of course, that's because of William S. Hart and one of his horses.
That's right. That's right.
Okay, and Todd gets to ask the last question.
Okay.
Go, Todd.
All right, EJ. Here we go. No pressure, but there is plenty, so I hope you feel it on your shoulders.
Get it right.
Your favorite. your favorite. Film or television Western?
And it can be silent.
You know, I would have to say, and it's partly because I was there with it, but at Melody Ranch they did Deadwood for all three seasons. And
wow.
I mean, Deadwood, I think, is it's a hard watch for some people because it's so earthy and the language is tough and that type of thing. But once again, you talk about filthy people. I mean, their
clothes, a trend
they sprayed
here.
Them.
Yeah, really.
You know, they threw dirt on them beforehand to make it so genuine. But that was filmed at Melody Ranch, which is where I work, and it still looks exactly the same. I think that's probably my favorite because it when I watched Deadwood, I realized I wouldn't have survived a weekend there. I mean, the Old West was a tough place, you know.
No, you'd have ended up a date with Calamity.
No, you'd end up in the pig chambers there.
there you go. And the pig chamber's still there. We take people to Woo's Pig Pen all the time. So if you're
and
ever out here,
you've
got to come and see. Got to come and see it, yeah. But I think that would be my favorite.
Oh, cool.
That's a good choice. I hadn't thought about that.
EJ Stevens, thank you so much for joining us this afternoon. Most enjoyable and
very
interesting.
Informative. Good stuff.
Yeah, for sure. So again, thank you so much, EJ. Appreciate it very much.
Thank you for having me.
You betcha, sir. All righty then. I don't know where Todd is. There he is. Next time we get together on Emil Franzi's Voices of the West is going to be the 4th of July.
Yes.
Not only are we celebrating the nation's 250th birthday, but we are also going to celebrate our founder's birthday.
Yes,
Emil Franzi was a Yankee Doodle Dandy.
He was.
And so,
Yankee Doodle Dandy.
So we'll be talking. His daughter is coming on, and her daughter and husband are coming on the show. So we're going to have some clips and some of Abel's favorite music and
a few tears and a lot of laughter.
And that's the whole idea behind that. So until next week.
78, 79, 80s. Quiet. Shut up. This is a silent movie.
So long, everybody.
Thanks for listening to Emil Franzink's Voices of the West.